You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and he says what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we review the WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view, talk about TNA's title holders, and discuss the continuation of Hulk Hogan's big ideas for TNA. Plus, we have a blast from the past, and maybe even a rant or two. It should be a great show. My name is David, and I am joined today by my broadcast partner, Jamie. Always great to be with you, bud.
David, I am honored to be standing in the ring with you as your tag team partner.
That's great. Well, what do you think? We got a lot of wrestling to discuss. Should we get started?
Let's ring the bell.
World Wrestling Entertainment. In the main event of WWE's Extreme Rules, John Cena defeated Brock Lesnar in a brutal Extreme Rules match. The key word, brutal. Jamie, what did you think of John Cena defeating Brock Lesnar at the last pay-per-view?
I'll tell you, it was a very good card mm-hmm. with a very good ending mm-hmm. in a very good match. I think it lived up to the hype. I think WWE did a good job. I think Brock Lesnar and John Cena did a good job. You can't really be unhappy with the card or specifically this match.
No, that's a good point because, you know, it was a big-time main event, right? Brock Lesnar and John Cena, and they put on a great show, a great match, and relatively, quote-unquote, a clean finish. I mean, it was John Cena using the stairs, and it was an Extreme Rules match, so they did whatever they had to do to get the victory. I think people may not be happy John Cena won, but that's okay. That's okay. This was a big win for him, and I thought a really good main event to a very strong pay-per-view. Extreme Rules is not my favorite pay-per-view of the year, but I enjoyed this match in particular. Brock Lesnar, I want to ask you specifically, though, were you surprised they brought him back and had him lose his first match out?
Shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I both talked about this not having a clean finish, and I would have guessed that if there was a clean finish, it would have been Lesnar over Cena. Mm-hmm. The question being, what do you do with Lesnar if he loses this match? So I still am a little perplexed by that. I think the ending of the match and John Cena grabbing the mic and talking a little bit might play into some type of future with Lesnar, him being all ticked off about it and so forth. I don't know. What did you think about that?
Yeah, that was interesting. I read a lot on Lords of Pain and some of these other sites, and the question is whether the WWE told Brock Lesnar that John Cena was going to cut this promo, to basically talk at the end there. Apparently, the original ending was that Cena would be carried out on a stretcher, victorious in the match, but did Brock Lesnar win the war type of thing? I don't know. I'm confused a little bit. I'm curious to see where this goes, but my understanding, Jamie, is that they're going to be kept apart for a while. I don't know. Does this make Lesnar look weak to you?
I thought it did, Dave. I mean, again, just losing the match clean in his return to the WWE, I didn't understand it. Again, I like the finish. I'm happy for Cena, but I didn't understand it. As far as the promo cut by Cena, I read everything, you know, from it being a work that you know McMahon played on the whole locker room to it being real. Who knows? I just know that Brock Lesnar went ballistic afterwards. He upset some cookie trays, I guess. But it'll be interesting to see where they go with this, especially with the involvement potentially of Triple H.
Well, we had a main event that lived up to its billing. Whether, again, you liked the winner or you didn't like the winner, at least it was a great match.
Agreed.
At Extreme Rules, Layla returned. WWE Diva Layla came back and challenged for the Divas Championship, which she actually won. I know a lot of people were excited to see Layla actually back in the ring, but She wins a title with no storyline or no buildup. Jamie, this is a major concern for me in general. I love Layla. You know this. You and I have both met her. We could say without any hesitation, she's a great girl, right?
Absolutely.
A great girl. Happy to see her back. Congratulations on rehabbing her knee injury. I'm very happy for her that she's able to wrestle again. But when you and I were growing up, and I know we talk about this every week, quote unquote, when you and I were growing up.
Right.
The truth is that I feel people should chase a title, because then when they actually win the title, that the crowd feels a real sense of excitement that this person accomplished something. I don't see why bringing Layla back to challenge the Bellas for the Divas title. I always forget if it's Brie or Nikki who had the title.
Right.
Why is that exciting? If you're a Layla fan, doesn't this championship feel hollow to you?
Yeah, if I can make a plea out there, can someone please book this division correctly?
It's getting really bad.
It's very bad. The WWE is losing or has lost the Bellas, right? I mean, is their contract now officially up?
Yes, they're out, yeah.
And so you're losing two pretty good stars in that Divas division. You hit the nail on the head with Layla. Great. I respect her and I'm happy for her and everything like that. But this was not the way to do it.
No.
And unfortunately, we've talked about this week in and week out. The WWE just has no care for taking consideration of what they're doing with the Divas division.
And every match ends in a roll-up. I can't believe, even on Monday Night Raw. By the way, did you notice on Monday Night Raw when Layla came out with the Divas championship belt, Jamie? No reaction. I mean, no. And the reason is, first of all, because she was a heel with Lay Cool for so long. She comes back, and now we're supposed to cheer her because she rehabbed her knee injury? Again, I love her personally, but as a character, it doesn't make sense. There was no crowd reaction at Raw, and she returned to the face. I don't get it. You gotta fill me in. I don't understand this.
I wish I could. I think the crowd was obviously expecting Karma to be the mystery opponent. Now, Karma does have a following around her. If you go to the arena, you hear Karma chants, and I think that's what everyone expected. So I think there was a sense of disappointment there. That said, you're right. I mean, Layla just doesn't get the crowd reaction, and it's a shame because she is a great person, and she puts her heart and soul into things. I think her rehab, from what I read, she worked very hard to get back. I know it took some time, but she did a good job of getting back. Again, please, someone book this division correctly.
Extreme Rules, to me, is really just a reshuffling of the WrestleMania matches. Jamie, every year, I don't love the Extreme Rules pay-per-view because I feel like it's just taking the WrestleMania matches and adding stipulations. Again, we had Chris Jericho, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Big Show, Kane, Randy Orton. I mean, I know the main event was different, but in general, Extreme Rules is not my favorite. My question for you is, does this kind of devalue WrestleMania a little bit? I mean, when you and I were growing up, there's that expression again, WrestleMania was special. Those were the blow-off matches, Hogan Savage, Hogan Warrior. And now the way the stories are told, the very next pay-per-view, we get the same matches again. How do you feel about this?
I mean, I don't love it, but it's where we are today in the business.
Uh-huh.
Because they have to sell tickets to get people, in seats. They have to get draws for pay-per-views. I will say that I'm glad that they put the Extreme Rules event right after WrestleMania, so at least it's a rematch with a twist,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to it just being a straight, CM Punk Chris Jericho match or a Kane versus Randy Orton match.
So it forces them to be a bit different.
A bit different. And it's not realistic that you're going to have this great event at WrestleMania with these great matches. Sometimes it's the first time ever these opponents are wrestling, and then all of a sudden just stop cold and not follow through with it.
Yeah, but let me ask you, so at WrestleMania, Kane gets a big win over Randy Orton, and a bit of a surprise, really. And then, but he loses next month to Randy Orton, a big pay-per-view. But doesn't it kind of devalue when you think back to what happened in Miami?
Absolutely. And the thing that really worried me was that Punk was going to lose his title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if Punk beats Jericho at WrestleMania, that's a great thing. for him to lose it then in Extreme Rules would have been terrible, and that happened in the past, I think.
Yeah.
I think it happened when Triple H beat Orton at WrestleMania, and shortly thereafter he lost to Orton on the next pay-per-view or pay-per-view shortly thereafter. I don't like to see that. So I agree with what you're saying, but you do have to carry over some of those matches, I think. I think to stop dead in its tracks is bad. That said, if I have to see Kane versus Randy Orton again, I'm going to puke.
You're not going on shop.com and buying a Kane replica mask for your family?
Well, I'm wearing it right now, David, but the thing is, what I'm saying is I don't want to see these two in the ring together, okay? Well, let me be clear on that.
Well, then I need to go put on my Rey Mysterio mask. So
I thought you were wearing it already. Or Sin Cara, maybe.
I've been suspended for 60 days.
TNA. With so many good knockouts in TNA, such as Madison Rayne, Gail Kim, Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, Mickey James, and I could go on, is TNA missing the boat by having ODB and Eric Young as their tag team champions? Now, Dave, you know my thoughts on the knockouts. It's very different than my thoughts on the Divas. I actually do think TNA books their knockouts very well. But let's get the belt, the tag team belt off of Eric Young, please. There's too much good talent to be wasting this one half of the tag team champions on a non-female wrestler. What do you think, Dave?
Well, ODB is a pretty tough girl. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like her as a character because she's so different. I mean, she's just so different than what we think of as a typical female wrestler. And I think – I don't want to sound like a broken record all the time with TNA, but I think they have to do different things. I mention it almost every week, and I apologize, Jamie, but I kind of like it again. I mean, ODB and Eric Young, they're the tag team champions. Someone come take it from us. I mean, if it should be two guys, two girls, whatever, someone come take it. I think ODB is a unique talent, kind of like Beth Phoenix in the WWE, in that she, you know, Beth Phoenix, of course, bigger, stronger than Kelly type, where ODB can be used in these kind of storylines. It doesn't bother me. Someone come take our titles. That's how I would play the story.
At least Beth Phoenix, though, is wrestling in the Divas division, and she's a female. At least I think she's a female. But anyway.
I check. She is.
But, Dave, I consider you a pretty much a wrestling purist. I'm surprised that you feel this way.
Well, let me ask you this. When, you know, this is something WWE did with China. I mean, she was the Intercontinental Champion.
And I didn't like it.
Okay, no, I get that.
And by the way,
have you read Title IX, Jamie?
Dave, and just to be clear, I have no problem with ODB. I think she's great. I mean, you're right. She's different. She kind of reminds me of one of the Bushwhackers.
Is that a compliment?
but I like her. My issue is with Eric. My issue is with Eric Young. Get him out of there. I mean, I just don't understand the point of having a knockouts tag team title with a male wrestler in there.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I understand the point of this conversation. Maybe the fact that we're actually talking about this is a good thing. Maybe the fact that we're talking about this is showing that, you know, it's generating conversation. I don't know. One thing you and I seem to agree on, though, is TNA seems to use their girls better, though, than WWE.
Yeah, definitely. At least they have a plan. But, yeah, my whole thing is I like ODB, Eric Young, get out of there. In Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and Gail Kim, one half of all TNA champions have been in place for about 6 months. Are long title reigns good or bad for TNA? Dave, I want to tell you my opinion on this. I think it's good that Roode and Aries have long title reigns because it shows the fans how good they really are. And I make it an analogy back to Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. You know, Hogan, obviously, when he won his first title with the WWF, he held the belt, obviously, for, what, 3 years, 4 years, something like that.
Yeah, about 4 years.
And it really helped enhance his character. And I'm not saying any of these wrestlers will hold the belt that long, but I do think longer title reigns give them a little more credibility. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I remember when I started getting back into wrestling in the mid-90s, Jamie, during those Monday Night Wars, I went to work one day, and my buddy told me that Macho Man won the world title at a pay-per-view for WCW. And I was super excited about that because I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I remember, you know, watching Macho as a kid and all that stuff. And the next day I went to work. It was after a Monday Night Raw. He's like, yeah, Macho lost the title last night. It was literally 24 hours after he won the championship. It threw me off. I was completely confused for like, the remainder of the week. Like, because when you and I were kids, title changes were a big deal.
Huge deal.
I mean, they were a really big deal. People had the championships for months, if not years, like you said, with Hulk Hogan. But I do recognize the business has changed. And I recognize that the championship changes, championship matches, it's just handled differently than it was a long, long time ago. I like the fact that a certain section or a certain portion of TNA's champions have had the championships now for quite a while. For me, it's a really good thing for TNA.
Yeah, I agree with you, again, especially for somebody like Bobby Roode.
Yeah, he's a great example. That's a good point.
Yeah, it would have been very easy to throw the belt on him and have him lose to Kurt Angle 2 months later. Putting the belt on him and having him hold it for a period of time is very good. And looking at CM Punk on the WWE side, and I've said this to you before, you know, he's held the belt now since Survivor Series.
Yes.
I think that's a very good thing. I think it builds more credibility into his character and his performance as a wrestler.
Do I have to bleep that?
That's right. But I think longer title reigns in TNA are good.
Well, they're good for any promotion, I really think. I don't think hot-shotting the titles in any promotion is a good thing.
Yeah, I think maybe there are times when even the WWE looks at someone and says, hey, we're going to put the belt on you and we're going to keep it on for a while. I think due to the power broking that occurs, that within a couple of months, somebody else insists on holding the title, and therefore they get their chance.
Well, one thing we may not completely understand because we don't work for that company is the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, someone who's failed a drug test, someone who's been a big pain in the ass, or whatever the case is. You know, with Brock Lesnar, they don't seem to trust him in WWE, and so that's why Cena went over at Extreme Rules. I mean, in general, we think we know what's best for these promotions, keeping their champions, you know, in place, whatever, but we don't know the people. We don't know the situations, and it may be that, well, they took the title off, you know, of Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston, because at the time, I didn't know Evan Bourne found a drug test, so.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think controlling that circus is probably a lot more difficult than we think.
Yeah, I agree. There's an internet rumor circulating that one of Hulk Hogan's big ideas is to encourage fans to follow TNA wrestlers and capture them on video or pictures everywhere they go. He's essentially encouraging a self-created paparazzi. Now, Dave, you've brought it up a number of times. You know, TNA has to do things differently to draw attention to itself. I think this is an interesting idea that could work. But it does get away from the more traditional wrestling scene. What are your thoughts on this concept?
Just a great topic. I was excited to talk about this tonight. I'm glad you brought this up. I think the fact that you and I are fans, we are not wrestlers, we may view this a bit differently. I think this is kind of cool. And I think in a bubble, in an ideal world, this may work. If I'm a wrestler, I don't like it. What do you think?
Yeah, I have read that the locker room is not very happy with this concept, and
right.
You can imagine why. We've been out after matches, Dave. We've mingled with wrestlers in the bars and so forth, back at the hotels, and you see the scene. You see how people try to come in and be cool and interact with wrestlers, and puts a lot of pressure on these guys. For Hogan to encourage more of that, I could see this becoming very dicey.
Well, it is an invasion of privacy. I think the – like if you were a character, let's say like The Miz, and you had to literally be that character all the time, or anyone in TNA who – you know, Hulk Hogan wants this to be a concept for that promotion, I would be exhausted. I would literally be exhausted. I mean, I think being that character in the arena is tough enough, but you're saying at the airports, or you're saying at the rental car counters when you're having a cup of coffee with your wife – you've got to now worry about everybody taking a video of you, and you've got to stay in character, Jamie. It's too much for me. I, I think in theory, again, TNA is trying to think outside the box and Hulk Hogan has decent ideas. This seems like something I understand why the roster is not happy.
Okay, but now let me ask you this.
Okay.
Austin Aries, who was, you know, in Ring of Honor for a long, long time, finally gets a chance at the number two promotion in the world. And now he has his dream job and he's being asked to do this.
Yeah.
Don't you think, as one of the premier wrestlers in the world, but, you know, he's got his chance, don't you think he just needs to kind of do what he's told and move forward with it?
Oh, that's a great, that's a fantastic point. And there's no question that this is like the bounty gate in the NFL. I mean, you get to that level, you do what you're told. Because Austin Aries wants to work for TNA. There's no question. He's going to do what he's told because he wants to work for that company. You know, Charles Barkley, though, was one of those guys when he played pro basketball that he wanted to go out and just be one of the regular guys. He wanted to go to bars. He wanted, you know, to be friends with people. And it came back lawsuit after lawsuit. He'd get in fights in bars because people wanted to push his buttons. I'm afraid with something like Hulk Hogan saying here that the invasion of privacy for this TNA stars could be really, really difficult for them, and it just may wear them out. You know, Jamie, for me, I think this is an idea they need to put on the shelf.
Yeah. Are you saying that this is a Code Red situation?
Did you order it? Wild card topic number one. Why doesn't ESPN cover the WWE at all, or professional wrestling in general? This is a topic that drives me crazy. I can go on ESPN and find out the results of the hot dog eating contest or the national spelling bee. Fascinating. But The Rock and John Cena sell 80,000 plus tickets. There are things like 1.3 million pay-per-views and nothing on ESPN. I am sorry. I don't understand it. To me, the wrestlers are tremendous athletes. I don't care about the actual nature of the competition. I think that this is a travesty to the actual athletes. ESPN is the entertainment sports network, and entertainment is what WWE and professional wrestling is. Jamie, I think ESPN is not only missing the boat here from a journalistic perspective, but also an opportunity for popularity. People love wrestling. They love to read ESPN's coverage of this.
And is evidenced by every SportsCenter anchor referencing professional wrestling.
They do. That's a great point.
On a regular basis. So there's obviously interest. You're right. The E in ESPN stands for entertainment. Here's another question. I'm going to take it a step further. Why wouldn't ESPN consider buying a promotion or getting into the business? But before you laugh at that idea, I really think it could be huge. It is an entertainment, sports entertainment business.
No question.
When you think about it, you know, don't you think it could draw people on for a midweek card, an 8 o'clock card or something like that? Better yet, why not partner with ABC to hold special Saturday night events similar to what they did with Saturday night's main event?
Well, we see with the UFC, they're doing, you know, something on Fox, and it seems to be working for them. I wrote down on my notes here when I saw this was a topic. Remember when ESPN had AWA on?
That's right, yeah. AWA, I think they even had Wrestling from the Garden for a while.
Oh, that's so fantastic. That was great. But, you know, why would ESPN not show indie promotions throughout the country? I mean, to me, it's low-budget programming that people are going to watch. I swear to God, they will get higher ratings than the WNBA.
Well, I remember as a kid, again, you know, Saturday nights turning on the TV at 11:30 on ESPN, and they had world-class championship wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. You know, I got to watch all the Von Erichs perform and everything like that. But I think they really need to consider this. I don't know if they ever would, and I'm not sure why they wouldn't. But, boy, it seems like it could be a really big moneymaker for them. And, but back to your original point, you're right. Would it really hurt to just recap the card of WrestleMania?
I mean, 80,000 people in Miami, all these pay-per-views, they can't say, by the way, The Rock, who was a player at the University of Miami, you know, for the Hurricanes, you know, he headlined WrestleMania with John Cena, and it was a great time. No one home's going to be like, oh, that sucked. I wish they'd show more WNBA highlights.
Or congratulations to Ron Simmons, who was inducted into the who was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Ron Simmons finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting back in whatever year it was.
You know, that's a great point. You're right.
Wild card topic number two. We talked about WWE's online coverage of the Miz and Santino match at Extreme Rules. We talked about that a week ago. What do you think of the WWE YouTube channel? Is it really good, or is it just too much? And Dave, you're somebody that turned me on to this and said, Jamie, you should check it out. Some of the content that you used to have to pay for on the site is now free, and they show that content.
Oh, you mean you had to pay for on the WWE site?
On the WWE site, right. Now they moved some of it over to the YouTube channel.
Okay.
Have you been there? What do you think of it?
I kind of like it. I mean, it's a nice YouTube channel. I mean, you know, every website, WWE or otherwise, you know, that wants to go to YouTube and make an imprint there, I think it's a pretty great media. I mean, you log in. I was watching videos tonight from the 80s I hadn't seen in a while. YouTube is such an amazing tool on the internet. I think WWE's online content on there is fantastic. I liked the Miz and Santino, you know, being put on there as a free match to drum up interest for the pay-per-view. I like it. What do you think?
Well, I agree with that. I thought that was a novel idea, and I haven't read anything about how many hits they received on it for that match. What is interesting is when I went there this week, I pulled up something, and basically what it was WWE wrestlers talking about their first match and their first match with the WWE and what it meant to them. And what I saw was a lot of wrestlers breaking character and becoming emotional about things. And I question whether that's good or bad for the business. You know, I certainly back in the day would not have wanted to see, you know, King Kong Bundy do stand-up comedy on one of the YouTube channels.
Yeah, but WWF at the time did the TNT Tuesday or Thursday Night Titans. I mean, they did kind of a talk show kind of thing. I mean, I think the entertainment portion of pro wrestling has always kind of been there. I think YouTube is a fantastic outlet. Because even more so than the WWE.com, like Superstars is on there,
yeah,
or how they're going to have this own network, people are on YouTube all the time.
I'm fine if it's entertaining people. I just don't like when they break character so much.
That is in itself. We could do a 30-minute podcast.
Absolutely.
On that. And that's a great point. One thing for sure, when we were kids, we thought George the Animal Steel was freaking crazy.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, well, unless you're in his class. But we thought, you know, Terry Funk was nuts and had a flaming branding iron, and we thought the Junkyard Dog wore chains all the time, and Coco Beware ran all the bird. I mean, we didn't understand that these were characters, and so by breaking the kayfabe, as they say, this is not comfortable to people who have been wrestling fans for 30 years.
Yeah. But it is the way the business is going, and you see it in at least the TNA and WWE. You know, I just don't know how I feel about it. Some of the stuff on the YouTube channel, again, great stuff. I would rather see more people remain in their characters.
Yeah, to finish this topic, though, I mean, do you think that the WWE network a year from now, you and I will be watching, it'll be on, you know, on our cable systems?
No. Hmm. I'm not convinced of that at all. Now, I hear they're promoting it, and they're promoting it to launch this year. You know, I'm going out to Indianapolis. I'm getting Bright House Cable. Is Bright House Cable going to have it?
We'll see.
Blast from the past. Dave, back in the 80s, when we were kids, right, there was a dice game featuring wrestlers from various promotions. Each wrestler had a card, and depending upon what you rolled, a certain move would take place. I don't know if you remember this game, Dave. Did you have it? Do you remember it?
Oh, I had it. I remember it. It was one of the things I ordered from Pro Wrestling Illustrated along with my X-ray vision goggles. It was just the best. The thing was, this is what got me into booking. I mean, this was, you know, I could order this game. They would send me a bunch of cards with fake wrestlers on it, and then they have some blank cards in there so I could write in Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair or the Road Warriors or whatever. And I just thought it was great. You roll the dice, clothesline, suplex, body slam, whatever it was. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. It reminds me of my childhood. Thank you for bringing up this blast from the past. This was fantastic.
Dave, it's funny. You said they had blank cards, and you know, they didn't have any contract with the WWF back then.
Right.
But the blank cards were funny because they always had a finishing move, and, like, one of them was a leg drop. One of them was an elbow.
Right, right.
One of them was an elbow off the top rope.
Yep.
And then one of them was a foreign object, which I just assumed was Piper or something like that.
Yeah. And like, if it wasn't Ric Flair, it was like Richard, you know. Like, it would just change the name slightly, right?
Right, right.
And his finisher was the figure four.
Yep, it was a great concept. Fortunately or unfortunately, it's been replaced by video games nowadays. But boy, I don't know if you still have the game. If not, do you still have the X-ray goggles?
I'm not telling you. But you bring up a great point about the advancements since that time. I mean, these games for PlayStation 3, for the Wii, or whatever video game system have, they are really incredible to the video games we had in the 80s. But I even think the video games in the 80s have a homage to these games like you talked about here, because I think a lot of people play these, like Strat-O-Matic Baseball. Strat-O-Matic Baseball gave way really to what we see in EA Sports now, because people wanted to simulate what they saw on TV.
I wonder if anybody still plays the original Micro League Baseball.
Well, they should if they don't. We ought to just wrap this show up, Jamie. What do you think?
No, Dave, it's that time again.
Are we going to rant on something?
I've got something on my mind. Last week or a couple weeks ago, I gave positive remarks to Bud Selig.
Yep.
And the addition of the wild card. But I've got something on my mind today. You know, there have been a number of injuries in the NBA this year, none bigger than the loss of Derrick Rose, which
right.
took the Chicago Bulls from title contenders to possible first-round busts. Charles Barkley is adamant that many of the injuries to players are due to a shortened training period due to the lockout.
Mm-hmm.
All right, really? I mean, Rose's injury, which occurred 4 months after the start of the season, is due to the lockout? Come on, Chuck. You've gone overboard on your Weight Watcher meals.
That's horrible.
I mean, Charles went so far as to question a renowned medical practitioner who insisted that Rose's injury and injuries to a few other players could not be tied to the shortened training period. Look, Charles, we love you, but you are not a medical doctor. You are only a doctor of very dry humor.
Yeah, that's a great point. I don't think that these injuries are due to the strike-shortened season. I think they're due to the fact that there's a lot of good teams in the NBA, and these guys are physical, big, fast, and strong, and some guys have just had bad luck.
No one appreciates how hard these guys play for 48 minutes. And I'll tell you, I hear the wisecracks about NBA, you know, they don't play defense. Let me tell you something. Watch a defensive player close out as soon as his guy gets the ball. These guys are tenacious. They work as hard as any athlete. And I'm going off on another rant now. But people who don't appreciate the NBA, they really need to take a closer look at it.
You know, we're just going to keep this going because I have friends who say, oh, college basketball is so much better. You know, it's about the name on the front of the jersey, not the back of the jersey. Like, well, college basketball has a 40-second shot clock. The NBA has got a 24-second shot clock. They don't have time to pass the ball around the three-point line 15 times. They have to get into a set and run a play.
Yeah,
and I tell you, I watched the Grizzlies-Clippers game 2 the other night. It was one of the most physical games I had seen. Blake Griffin and Zebo and Marcus Gasol and you know, DeAndre Jordan down low. It was a war. They say these kids don't care. I mean, it was a physical, brutal game. You and I love the NBA, and actually, our teams may go to the second round. Memphis and Philly may advance.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. I mean, again, I just stress anybody who does not watch the NBA, take a look at what these guys do night in and night out. It's amazing. I mean, it really is.
Well, the thing, too, is, Jamie, is that 2 years ago, we had Butler in the national title game. Now, people like that in the NCAA championship tournament, but I'd rather see the Lakers and the Heat. I'd rather see teams that win seven-game series as the best team, because seven games separates who the best teams are, right?
That's right. I mean, we know that the number eight seed is not going to make it to the finals.
Utah's not beating San Antonio.
No way.
No.
But the Dallas Mavericks last year showed what a team in the middle of the pack can do, and boy, what a series that was. And I think we're going to see something special again this year.
I'm just glad I got a friend to talk about the NBA with. No one seems to love it except for you and me.
Well, I'll tell you, it's exciting.
So, if the Grizz and Sixers play in the finals, we're going.
That's fine. We'll go to all seven games.
We'll go to all seven games. Good seats still available.
We will be broadcasting live from the Memphis, what is it, the FedEx Forum?
The Grindhouse.
Well, Dave, with that, I guess we can wrap it up then this week.
That's fair. Well, don't forget to check out the OWW website at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. Now, while you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can also email us at radio@OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Radio Facebook homepage. Until next time, I am David. Jamie, always great to be with you.
Yeah, it's been a great show, Dave. And until next week.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed the program. And we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.